I am so fortunate. We have in studio none other than Judy Wood, Dr. Judy Wood. This is the lady who has given the world the truth about what really happened on 9/11. And they don't know how to deal with it. She says that this was not, those buildings weren't brought down by those airplanes. No. And she has made a fascinating case that they were brought down by directed energy weapons. And welcome to We Ourselves.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
You want to just kind of lay it out for our listeners? There are some who have never heard of what you have put on the plate for the world.
Well, if they would like to go to my website, it's drjudywood.com, which is drjudywood.com. And there are pictures to click on, and that will take you to various web pages where there's visual evidence. I mainly deal with visual evidence of what happened. And if you begin looking at the pictures, you'll start to realize the story that we were given on 9/11 cannot be true.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you have two 110-story buildings early that morning. By the end of the day, they're less than one story high.
That's
the
amazing.
Rubble piles. Where'd it go?
And how fast did they go?
According to the government story, 8 seconds.
8 seconds.
You can't push a bowling ball off the roof and have it hit the ground in 8 seconds. So the roof didn't hit the ground?
Right.
That's what it appears.
It's amazing, isn't it? And they've come out with a couple of reports, and you've challenged those so-called official reports. Tell our listeners what that's about.
NIST came out with a study.
Tell our listeners what NIST is.
National Institute of Standards and Technology.
Mm-hmm.
And they hired several contractors to help them with this report and make various studies. One of my biggest issues is that one of these contractors, one of the main contractors, is a manufacturer and developer of directed energy weapons. Bit of a conflict of interest, I would say.
They haven't told the public about that yet, have they?
Not quite. And on the website of one of these contractors, which is Applied Research Associates, there's a picture, a drawing, actually. It's a drawing that looks just like the World Trade Center being poofed. I call it poofed. It did not collapse. It just turned to dust in midair. And there was very little rubble left.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, the streets were covered with dust and paper.
And paper.
Paper did not burn.
How about that? Why in the world would... Why would the paper not burn?
Apparently, whatever was used doesn't affect paper.
Mm-hmm.
And what it tells me...
Like a microwave.
Or something that, I don't know what wavelength it was, but a traditional kinetic energy device, like a bomb, missile, explosive, nuclear bomb, whatever kind of bomb, affects everything around it.
Uh-huh.
This affected different materials differently. For example, engine blocks of nearby vehicles disappeared. The rest of the car didn't disappear.
Say that again.
The engine block. I have a photograph of a fire engine missing its engine block. You can tell it's a red fire engine. And on the news that day, I now have a video clip of the news right after the event where they're showing a vehicle. You can tell it's a white car. I can't tell cars very well looking at them, but someone else could probably tell what kind it was. Where they're showing, the reporter is showing that the engine block is, half melted. Or I would interpret that as disintegrated because I don't think heat was involved.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So here you have the hood missing or lifted up and no engine in there. But you have a white outside body of the car. untouched.
Amazing. What happened to all the steel?
I don't know. Disappeared. I can only imagine that all of that fuming, I call it, that went up, looks like into the upper atmosphere, was where the building's material went. Because you don't have two 110-story buildings leave a rubble pile less than one story tall. The material went somewhere. It doesn't turn to nothing. It has to go away. And we had a lot of dust all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
And it appeared to get finer and finer. There's a photograph I have that's just north of the complex, about a block north, and we know the wind was blowing from the north, the north-northwest that day. And there's a picture where you have a blue sky. The dust has settled out of the air relatively fast, so it's probably coarse dust. And then pretty soon you notice fine, fine dust lifting up from the ground. So it appears to continue breaking down. Whatever process got initiated continues. And it appears to have continued for weeks, months, years. I was visiting the site last week. They're still hauling dirt in and hauling dirt out.
Hauling dirt in.
And hauling dirt out.
That's fascinating.
I got photographs
of
it.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And what in the world happened to all that steel? That just blew my mind. The first thing that told the public is that they were shipped the steel out of the country.
I've got a photograph that was taken before noon that day. You can tell from the shadows on the ground, and you can tell it's what day it is because Building 7 is still standing.
Uh-huh.
And it went poof at 5:20 p.m. that day. And everything is level. So did they pack it up and ship it to China in 20 minutes?
It's amazing, isn't it?
There's also this recording of Rudy Giuliani the next morning bragging about 120 dump trucks coming and going from the site all night long. And then miraculously this dirt appears.
They were hauling dirt in.
I believe they were hauling dirt in. Rudy Giuliani says that they were taking debris out, but if you're looking for survivors just hours after the event,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to be disturbing a debris pile.
Yeah, yeah.
And I believe that was the cover story for why people saw so many dump trucks driving in.
Mm-hmm. And the story that they shipped steel to China?
To Asia.
To Asia. Has anybody ever asked them a question, why?
Oh, they need to recycle it because of all the material, I guess. But I have yet to see any receipts.
Yeah.
You know, show me the receipts. Show me the proof that that material really was shipped.
And where were all of the trucks that shipped it out, that carried it out? How did they ship it? They put it on, whoa. How
barges.
Did they do it?
They claim they put it on barges. But they can't do that before noon on 9/11.
Yeah. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, and also, who ordered all those dump trucks to be on the scene?
Yeah.
And I wonder if those drivers knew what they were doing.
I would doubt that.
There's a lot of compartmentalization.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll take your calls at 588-0893 or 202-588-0893. And you can talk directly with Judy Wood. You filed a lawsuit, haven't you?
Yes.
Tell our listeners about that.
A QTAM case?
Mm-hmm.
Representing the United States of America. That the government has been defrauded by these contractors who were hired to do a job for NIST. And if you have someone who, a company that manufactures and develops directed energy weapons as a contractor on trying to figure out what happened, when it sure appears that directed energy weapons of some type were involved, that's a major conflict of interest,
uh-huh.
and that was not disclosed, and that's fraud.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And the court has agreed so far?
And they've unsealed the case. It was filed under seal in April, this past spring. And the 12th of September, they unsealed the case.
Okay. So it means the government is supposed to answer your query.
Well, they have turned it over to us. They did not dismiss it.
Mm-hmm.
It was not deemed frivolous.
Very good. Very good. Good morning, caller. You're on with Dr. Judy Wood. How are you today? Hello? Hello?
Clear picture again of what you're saying happened to buildings. What type of process?
Would you repeat that, because we had a technical problem. We didn't hear the first of your question.
I'm just not understanding what happened to the building. I need her to tell me exactly what the process was. And also, is that the same thing for the plane that hit the Pentagon? Or supposedly have hit the Pentagon? And to repeat her website again.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. My website is drjudywood.com. That's DRJUDYWOD. All one word. drjudywood.com. And from there, there's various things you can click on the front, on the home page. And as to what happened to the building, I try to stay away from speculation, but really eliminate, just focus on eliminating what is impossible and look at the phenomenon of what is going on. And in doing that, to keep from biasing my observations, I assign names for specific phenomenon before I know what exactly it is. For example, there's the groups of outer columns in groups of three floors and three columns wide. I call wheat checks because they look like wheat checks. And there's a photograph of these wheat checks flying through the air, trailing dust, violently trailing dust. It looks like an Alka-Seltzer tablet dissolving. And would you know that those wheat checks did not hit the ground? There was no thud. There was just paper left in the streets and dust. It turned to dust before it hit the ground. So we can see that it didn't turn to dust from slamming against something. It's just falling through the air, turning to dust, like an Alka-Seltzer tablet. And we're left with not enough material, but a lot of dust. So there's only one conclusion you can make. Also, folks like to say, well, maybe it's in the basements. The basements were undamaged, basically. You know, stuff fell off the walls. There's a mall just one story down. It's in the first sub-basement. And you can see pictures of rescue workers walking down the mall looking for survivors. You can read the signs on the walls. Some stuff has fallen off the shelves. You can see clothing that was being sold in the store or that store. And there's the Warner Brothers store that was down there. Supposedly underneath where Tower 2 should have, quote, fallen, Roadrunner survived without a scratch on him after having a 500,000-ton building fall on him. Pretty impressive.
So we had a building that fell 110 stories in 8 seconds. And what fell was paper and dust.
Right. And paper and dust cannot fall that fast.
Yeah.
The building went away in that amount of time. I don't say fall. It went away.
And steel, they say they loaded quickly on the barges and shipped them to China. And yet you're saying that some steel was just wiped away. That, for example, automobile engine just
choo. Right. And there's some testimony from some of the first responders that, you know, they talk about people disappearing in front of them, vehicles disappearing. It's pretty interesting. And there's one testimony of a rescue worker who thought there was another plane coming in and looked up and saw three planes, and then the middle one turned into a fireball. So you didn't just have toasted automobiles, you had a toasted airplane.
That's interesting.
Might be a reason why they wanted to ground all the planes.
My God. All right. Good morning, caller. You're on with Dr. Judy Wood.
Is this me?
Yes, you.
Oh, hi. I've seen a lot of evidence about controlled demolition being the cause of the buildings falling, and heard lots of videotape evidence of first responders hearing explosions, many explosions, and there's a, you know, Brigham Young University physicist who has been studying on the use of thermite and chemical evidence that thermite, which is a incendiary material used along with explosives to melt steel and cause a what they call a controlled demolition. And I've seen lots of pictures of those buildings coming down and looking very much like other controlled demolitions. And, you know, and I have been to Dr. Wood's website, and I don't get any description of these directed energy weapons at her website. And I'm wondering whether she could elaborate on what kind of energy these weapons are projecting, because I don't get any information at all about these weapons. They don't, you know, as far as I can tell, they don't exist. So if you could elaborate on what exactly these weapons are and where I can find out about them, I'd appreciate that.
You probably,
very good questions.
Yeah, you probably need a security clearance if you're going to find out about exactly what weapon and exactly the serial number on whatever items were used. What I am doing is looking at the evidence. The buildings were turned to dust.
Well, what evidence do you have that directed energy weapons exist? That's my question to you.
There are directed energy weapons of some sort that do exist as of 1945.
And
we have the microwave oven.
How do you know that?
The microwave oven was developed in 1945. In 1955, the laser came about. Those are two different wavelengths. Now, don't you think there's been a little bit more advances since then?
I don't know, but I, you know, that there's quite a bit of difference between a microwave oven where you've and, you know, I do understand that lasers produce a directed energy, but that's something that would be visible to you know, to the public who is looking at the witnessing this thing.
Microwaves are not visible. And there's a whole other spectrum, rest of the spectrum of different types of energy that is not visible. Now, let's look again at the evidence, hard evidence. The evidence shows the building turned to dust. Something caused the building to turn to dust. Just because you don't know what it was that caused it doesn't mean it didn't happen.
He raised a question about controlled demolition, explosives, and thermite.
Well, first of all, thermite has never been used for controlled demolition, ever. Thermite is a welding item, and it's used to weld railroad tracks together and also used in the military to destroy the opponent's artillery. You weld the hole in the middle of the gun barrel. So you don't have to collect the guns from when you take over the enemy's turf. You just render his artillery useless by melting different parts of it. So it's not used in controlled demolition, and it can't very well be controlled.
Well, from what I understand, that both thermite and you add sulfur to thermite to create thermate, which is a patented substance, and those both substances are used in controlled demolition by you know, companies that have expertise in that field.
You might want to go call various controlled demolition companies and find out where it's ever been used before. To my knowledge, it's never once been used in controlled demolition.
Well, now back to directed energy weapons. Can you give me any reference to the existence of these directed energy weapons other than that lasers exist and microwaves exist, and that can you give me anything that I can look up to find any information on directed energy weapons?
If you look on my website, drjudywood.com, you'll see the first row of pictures in the middle. It's just to the right of the BBE, which is this billiard ball thing where it says start here. Look to the right, and it says the Star Wars program directed energy weapons. They've been developing it since the Reagan era. That's why they call it the Star Wars program. So I call this the Star Wars beam weapon because what did they develop in all that time in the Star Wars program that they didn't want to have a kinetic energy device that would have to travel as fast as the opponent? You'd have to launch your defense the exact same moment your opponent was launching the missile in order to try to head it off. But there's so many different things that we don't know about, but we see evidence of what did happen. And what I mean by directed energy weapon, it involves energy, it's directed, and it's used as a weapon. It's not a kinetic energy weapon. It's not a missile or a bomb or something that physically explodes things. For example, your cell phone. It has a signal that comes down from a satellite. You don't see that signal coming. You can detonate something by dialing in the right phone number, for example. That's a form of direct energy weapon. In my general term, it's a high-tech weapon.
Mm-hmm. The one other thing that he mentioned was the use of explosives in bringing down these buildings.
Well, we don't see any explosions occurring. If there are explosive sounds, I would expect explosive sounds, because imagine if you have a pressurized air tank and you start dissolving the metal. It's going to explode. The regulator will probably pop off first. But there are testimonies of emergency workers who had their oxygen tanks exploding. They were sitting in their fire truck and so forth that exploded.
Good morning, caller. How are you today?
Fine, thank you. I got a quick question.
Sure.
Who was responsible for this attack, and why, if this wasn't planes that attacked the building, who was responsible for this?
That's a big question, isn't it?
I look at the physical evidence into what happened, and until we decide that, there's no point in...
Yeah, no, there is something. I mean, if you can't figure out who did it, then everything else, pales, falls apart. Who did it, and why?
Well, that comes after you establish what happened.
No, it comes before. Who did it, and why?
Let's say you find a dead body, and the body has... you don't know why they died, but you're going to go blame somebody, just somebody.
No, that's not a logical argument. You see a whole building explode, you're going to want to know who, and if you say it's a weapon, who had the weapon? Otherwise, it's all science fiction.
But right there, you were discussing evidence. You have to have evidence before you can convict.
No, I saw it on TV. I saw a building blow up, and you say it didn't blow up. Okay, who did it and why? You claim these weapons exist. Who's got them? Why do you use it?
Our government has them. We know that.
So then our government did this?
You said that. I didn't. Good morning. Thank you so much for your call. Good morning, Carl. How are you today?
Just fine, thank you. This is quite an interesting subject here, and sometimes things are... seeming rather far out in left field, but there are a couple of points, and I don't know how to address the overall issue, but I think that the idea of motors disappearing in vehicles, they're no longer made of steel and iron as one would have thought. I had personally a Volkswagen Beetle, the old type that was air-cooled, and the engine caught fire. I had a gas leak, and the engine caught fire. It burned up for 45 minutes, and there was nothing left virtually. Virtually nothing left in that engine compartment. It amazed me. I just thought somebody had taken the engine on out, but that thing burned for 45 minutes or so. Now, steel and iron wouldn't burn like that, but something that had a lot of magnesium in it or something of that sort, I understand, can burn in that fashion, and I imagine that would account for the disappearance of some of the engines so that they would be cooler, so they wouldn't run as hot. They put a lot of alloys in them, and so that would account for that part of it.
I don't believe fire trucks have aluminum engines.
Well, whenever you have that sort of thing, you have high temperatures, and these kinds of things can, reduce the absolute size of it. There's just a second point that I wanted to make, and to presume that because the government's been studying something doesn't mean it's a solution. My father is a founder of quality control engineering, and I recall several discussions that we had had. He was with Aerojet General Corporation, which designed the Polaris missile, which is the only DOD project for years thereafter that was done on time and under budget and accomplished what it was supposed to accomplish. Of course, the company was rewarded by his plant going from 22,000 employees down to 2,000. Go figure. The situation, though, that I'm particularly describing that he shared with me is that there are different phases in a lot of these DOD contracts, in all of them. And in phase one, if you spent up all the money and you didn't figure out what you were supposed to figure out in phase one, well, hey, that's the way it is. You go to phase two and spend up that money. And you can spend up that money and come up with something that you haven't gotten answers for, the questions that you're going to try to answer in phase two. Well, you go to phase three and you spend up that money. And this is the kind of thing that accounts for how we brought down the Soviet Union with a missile that didn't work. We were threatening to take, I think this was called I can't recall the name of the missile, but we were going to deploy them over in Europe, pointed towards the Soviet Union, and the missiles never worked. So, to presume that our government and our DOD is efficient, you have to go back to what Dwight Eisenhower said. Beware of the military-industrial complex. And it's a good money-eating machine. And we could go off into other tangents, but to just deal with this, I wouldn't necessarily presume that our government came up with any kind of sophisticated weaponry or something that maybe some loose cannon was able to use to bring down the buildings. It is amazing, though, to consider your key point as to what happened to a lot of the iron, steel that should have been in that building, and was it indeed steel or was it some kind of alloy that upon the very stressful circumstances with the major collapse and the fire that was taking place there at that time, a lot of it just decomposed. But I certainly enjoy this program, Mr. Lane. It's,
thank you so much, man.
Okay. And I'd like to hear your response off the air.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, I don't look at who did it or whatnot. I'm a physical scientist, and I look at the physical evidence, and the physical evidence, it's very revealing. You have two 110-story buildings, 8 o'clock that morning, and by the end of the day, you have less than one story of rubble that you don't even see any whatsoever. Toilet fixtures, sinks. How many bathrooms were in those buildings? No file cabinets, no desks. Where did it all go? And then I'm looking at a picture right now. It's of the document I filed the 22nd of August. Figure 31 and 32 are of the plaza level. Before 9/11, the plaza level was covered with cement plaques. Now it's covered with dirt. Buildings do not turn into dirt. And, you know, we all know this. There needs to be another explanation than a gravitational, quote, collapse.
You know, I've always been puzzled that China took out its own satellite.
Yeah. Wonder how that happened.
How did they do that? Good morning, caller. How are you today?
Doing fine. I have just two questions. Is there any way to narrow down who the Chinese companies were that supposedly took all of this steel, or where it was sent, you know, to? And have you been able to do any testing on the Ground Zero debris, or do you have any samples of it?
Starting out, I do not have subpoena power myself. So I could not get records of the receipts for what went to China.
But I mean, is there like a list of companies that they've, I mean, you would think they would have like a list of companies that they sent this stuff to.
I have not seen one.
Hmm.
As far as I know, it's what we're told. Now, I suspect that there is one company, at least, that has at least two beams, so they can say beams, plural, and be correct, that beams were sent to China. But beyond that, I am not aware of anything.
Okay. And as far as, like, samples from Ground Zero or around Ground Zero and that sort of thing?
Oh, they are very careful. When I was there last week, they had a dirt truck leaving that they were hosing down before they turned it out on the streets. And you can bet if any piece of dirt fell off of that, I would have scooped it up. But why would they be carefully hosing down, scrubbing it before they sent the dirt out behind the fence? And they're bringing in new dirt. Why are they bringing in new dirt and hauling out what looks like used dirt?
And all of that, you know, when the towers collapsed and the whole, like, looked like the whole island was just covered in a huge cloud of dirt. So I would think there would still be some stuff left around the just elsewhere in Manhattan.
They were scrubbing it that afternoon. They brought in street cleaners. This is when I began noticing the dirt. When I was looking at the pictures, you realize how fast they scrub the streets, meticulously, by the hour, by the day.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with the lawn? And across the street from the World Trade Center complex is the WFC buildings, World Financial Center. And I noticed it looked like the lawn was covered with potting soil, fresh potting soil. And then a week later, you notice that scooped up and more new dirt dumped on it. And then another week later, there's an aerial shot of bulldozers coming in and scooping up the whole lawn and taking it out.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that so important instead of looking for survivors?
Okay. Thank you for your expertise.
Thank you so much for your call. Good morning, caller. How are you today?
Good morning, brother. Peace and blessings.
And to you.
You had among your great guests Dr. Bob Bowman, retired colonel, U.S. Air Force National Commander, the presidential candidate. You remember him?
Mm-hmm.
I went to his lecture here in Tacoma and presented us video and forget the two towers. How about the Solomon buildings, which do not have any attachment to what had happened to the 110 floors? So the wiping out the dirt from the ground is to cover up the magnetic remnants. One, take gas. It is odorless and it is invisible, but it kills people. Take the GPS. Who knows how it works, GPS, other than to put numbers in your car? So this demolition was space satellite controlled demolition. Without a doubt, this called America was founded by a group of evil-minded Caucasian people, men, and it continues to be, and they are about to destroy the rest of the world, much less the World Trade Center. Thank you.
Good morning, Carla. How are you today?
Hello?
You're on.
Oh, thank you so much. I've been listening to the exchange and the callers calling in, and the doctor said that she was a physical scientist. And I'm not educated at that level, but I remember when I saw the towers and I saw the film before they stopped showing it, it seemed physically impossible for two small little planes to hit such large towers and make them collapse. It's almost the whole theory that I totally disagree with, that me with my powerful immune system with one little virus can knock me over. It didn't make sense to me. And I'm a free person, a free thinking person, and I want to hear the truth. I don't want to be a religious person and attached to my belief systems of the government and all that. I really appreciate what you're saying, and I too can't wait till the truth comes out. I've heard many other shows about the treasury, about the buildings attached to the towers and how they disintegrated and where the gold for the country was kept and that it possibly disappeared. And it goes into my mind about the founding of this country and the money behind this country and the robbery of the treasury and ways to cover it up so they can have time. It's layers and layers and layers of truth, but I wish the public would wake up and not be educated fools. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Carla. How are you today?
Good morning, Ambrose. Listen, I just wanted to say one thing. First of all, I was sitting here listening with my husband, and he was saying, well, how does she know this, and how does she know that? And, you know, so there was a certain vagueness here in this presentation, but I will say one thing. I know someone who worked in the World Trade Center who survived, and he said that there was absolutely nothing left. You know, there was just not a toothpick.
Yep.
But the other thing I'll tell you is there's plenty of dust.
Yep.
My godson was at the school. He lived in a dorm two blocks away, and he collected some dust in a jar. I'm sure he's not the only one, you know, that fell down, you know, on his window ledge. So there's plenty of dust. As far as dust and evidence for that goes, it exists. But anyway, you know, there's something vague here going on, and, you know, and I don't know. Until people really have something absolutely firm to say, it just seems to just make more doubts than, because, you know, now you've got thermite and you've got this, and, you know, which is it? So anyway, There's something vague here. But thanks a lot, Ambrose. Thanks for keeping the subject alive.
And thanks to you.
Now, if something took so much planning to pull off, something like 9/11,
yeah,
don't you think the cover-up would be more well-planned?
Yep.
And there's a quote that I want to remind listeners of that is credited to Lenin. The best way to control the opposition is to lead it.
Mm-hmm.
There will be people asking questions about 9/11. If you give them an answer and direct them someplace, you can control your opposition. Think about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good morning, Carla. How are you today?
Hello.
You're on.
Yes. I remember going to some program over in Boston. Some guys were giving a program. They're talking about that some of the residue or some of the metal, they didn't get all of it. There were pits of boiling metal at the 911 site. And some guy got a hold of this stuff and tested it and found out that they had used thermite, a military explosive, to bring down those towers. And the program was advertised on WPFW some time ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you go back and pull that information, because they didn't get all the metal. Some of it got away, and it's been tested. So, you know, what would military explosive thermite be doing in the building? If you look at some of those pictures, you see how the columns were sheared off at an angle. Like somebody had put explosives around the column, and then when it exploded, it just sheared it off at an angle. That didn't happen. The thing just collapsed. Mr. Rodriguez was one of the survivors of the 911 episode. He was a janitor in those buildings. He testified that there were bombs going off floor by floor. So, I mean, you know, they did something, and they're working real hard to cover it up. You know, you can't do stuff like this and hide it forever. The truth's going to come out, and I hope it comes out real soon, and you'll find out who's really guilty behind it and put him in jail. The man that collected twice on his building, he's pushing to be brought up for insurance fraud, because if he knew those buildings, he took the buildings down, like the little black building, the one that Giuliani had his bunker in. If they took the buildings down, as he said on PBS, if he took the buildings down, he pulled the building, then he's guilty of insurance fraud. He could demand that money back, that blood money he got for those buildings.
I like to use the analogy of a three-year-old's Easter egg hunt, where the three-year-old, when they find the Easter eggs, which have been carefully laid out in plain view, we would think plain view, the three-year-old really thinks he's found something. And it's kind of like following a breadcrumb trail. If it's that easy to find, don't you kind of wonder why it's out there? And something as huge of a operation as what we saw happen on 9/11, would the solution be that obvious?
Well, it wouldn't be that obvious because it worked very hard to try to cover it up. The buildings didn't just collapse on their own, man. They didn't collapse on their own. They were brought down. It was a demolition. And, you know, now the truth is starting to come out about it. And I think the testing and all the other things that need to happen to expose the people behind it, that's the problem. Yeah, you can talk about how they were brought down. You know, that's kind of like a big so what. The more important thing is bringing the people to book who actually pulled it off.
I don't think it's a big so what, because once you determine what happened, it becomes clear who done it. But you can't go to who done it before you know what happened.
Yep.
If, for example, I like to use the example of a dead body. If it has bullet holes in it, you can't say necessarily the person was poisoned to death.
No, I understand that. That's true. But, I mean, beyond just saying the buildings were brought down, yeah, we can prove, we can get behind all that. But then the most important part of the thing is finding out who did it. And I agree. Yes, we need to find out who did it.
The buildings were turned to dust. That's one thing that I think is pretty good evidence for. So if the buildings were turned to dust, what could do that? Who would have such a device? You know, means, motive, and opportunity?
Right.
You start looking at that, and who has the means of turning a building to dust?
The same people would have the means to send anthrax around the folks, too.
Yeah. I call this what happened on 9/11, I call that the new Hiroshima.
Yeah.
It's a new technology. The anthrax, I call the new Nagasaki.
Right. Thanks so much, man. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Hello, Mr. Ambrose. How are you doing today, sir?
Good. And you?
I'm blessed, sir. Oklahoma bombing, and they said like it's 1,000 pounds of sodium nitrate and diesel that caused that building to come down. As far as I know, no more than 50 to 100 pounds of enriched uranium can destroy a whole state. Also know that anything on Earth, there's nothing on Earth that can't be reduced to dust. Nothing on Earth can be reduced to dust. I think it's hard for people to realize that there's a weapon that can actually do that that can't be detected. But 50 years ago, no one thought about a nuclear weapon could never be invented. Nothing surprising with this government. In a building, just like I said, anything on Earth can be reduced to dust, regardless of what it is. I have no idea what kind of weapon it is. I pray that that the American people know. People should know. I'm one who do not believe that some guys in Afghanistan or Saudi Arabia caused this whole situation, because there's no such thing as coincidence what's happening to this country right now. And the plundering of the taxpayers' money, the rights being taken away, all this is planned. Things like this just don't happen. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your call. Good morning, caller. How are you today?
Good morning. How are you both?
Great.
I have just a couple of quick comments. I always say, and I've said this to you, Ambrose, that Hitler once said in Mein Kampf, the luck of the leader is that men don't think.
Very well said.
And you must think critically and analytically. Now, as I watched that, I was awakened the morning that it happened. Phone started ringing. At one point, there was a three-way. And as we watched it, we almost all simultaneously said, you know who did that.
Mm-hmm.
And David Icke did a book on, it's called Alice in Wonderland, The Truth About 9/11.
Yeah.
But one of the things that he has said, and I always keep this formula in my mind with respect to what's happening now, and when you're thinking critically and analytically, you want to, and we know this global thing is taking place. We're calling it fascism. We're calling it corporocracy. Solution is problem, reaction, solution. You create a problem, a big one, i.e. 9/11. The people, not really thinking, most of them, they're those of us who do think. They're up in, you know, they want it fixed. Do something, you know. Now, you blame it on somebody else. That's your reaction. Then you create the solution that the people are asked, you know, have put out there to the very problem that you created. And the bigger the lie, the more the people will believe it.
Mm-hmm.
The more you can continue it. So, you come up with a 9/11, create it, and they don't care about the fact that they're killing 3,000 their own people.
Yep.
For the bigger agenda and the kind of money that's going to be made behind that agenda, i.e. your contractors, you come up with, I put it in quotes, terrorism. Terrorism is ad infinitum. It's open-ended. You can put anything under terrorism, and then it's set up to take away what? Your civil liberties,
mm-hmm,
under the guise of national security or protecting you from terrorists. You go into occupied countries under the guise of terrorism to steal their resources. Rendition under the guise of terrorism. Everything under the guise of terrorism and or national security.
Mm-hmm.
You take it back to 9/11, and you go with that formula again. Why? Well, problem, reaction, solution, to do what you wanted to do in the first place, which you knew that the American people probably wouldn't go for unless you had something big like that happen, and you keep instilling the fear every day, terrorism. You keep coming out with tapes of bin Laden.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to one
conveniently
general, when he said, we can find a nickel on a crowded New York sidewalk or a dime in the desert. And I just looked at him and said, but you can't find bin Laden.
Mm-hmm.
But
and
bin Laden.
He says, well, but, yeah, I said, because you're not looking for it. And he gave me that look like that look that like I had hit it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to wind it up. But people need to think critically and analytically. And even with all these tsunamis, and I went back and started studying again submarines, sonar. And people don't realize that as above, so below. The ocean floor is just as it is. You've got volcanoes, you've got peaks, you've got valleys. It has to be precise when you deal with sonar. People do things in secret. These people do things in secret. And there's a really cute movie, but they tell you what they're doing a lot of times under the guise of entertainment, called Real Genius, with Val Kilmer. Top secret weaponry being developed, using brilliant college kids to work on it, and they didn't know what they were working on.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? And on all these campuses, what are they setting up on these campuses? Military research labs.
Yep.
And I'll end it there.
Okay, thank you so much.
I'd like to point out about bin Laden. Why isn't there an indictment for bin Laden? Don't you need evidence?
Yep.
Well, indict someone?
Yeah, and we created bin Laden, you know.
CIA.
That's right.
I've heard the term Al-Qaeda,
mm-hmm,
spelled Al-CIA-DUH.
We'll take one more call. Caller, you're on.
Hello, Mr. Lane.
How are you today?
I'm fine. A little paranoid, but, well, I see means, motive, opportunity, most crimes, and she's added something to the means, because I from Mr. Bowman's presentations, I see the thermite and the controlled demolition aspect. She's added the Star Wars aspect, and the, you know, the motives, the man in the bunker, and the opportunity, they just, I think, allowed the Saudis to continue their plans and do the cover story. And but we still don't know very much. So keep digging on all levels. That's what I say. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Great. I think someone wondered about who has the capabilities of doing this. One of NIST's contractors, that's the National Institute of Standards and Technology, who were in charge of coming up with what happened. One of their main contractors, Applied Research Associates, ARA, their main line of business is manufacture and development of directed energy weapons. They're also...
I want you to say that again very slowly. So
okay.
All of our listeners understand what you just said.
Applied Research Associates, their main line of business is the development and manufacture of directed energy weapons. And they are a founding member of the Directed Energy Professional Society.
And they have been put in charge by NIST to come up with what happened on 9/11.
Correct. And midstream, they also changed it to figure out what happened up until it happened. But they did not determine what happened.
Uh-huh.
They did not define a collapse only up to the point the building came apart, began to come apart.
Right. Now you can research...
Applied Research Associates.
Applied Research Associates. And you can and Google NIST, N-I-S-T, and you'll find out a lot of things. Thank you so much, Dr. Wood.
Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure having you.